Transformation Nation, today is a beautiful day. As you can see behind me, there's a lot of commotion because today we are shooting Relationship Goals, the movie. And but I just know that the message that I have to preach today is actually the backdrop of God even doing this miracle. And today I want to share this with you. Before you get into the message, because it's going to be a good one, I want to let you know a couple of things. Next week, we're starting a brand new series called Wicked, The Worship of Wealth. And I want you to understand that I'm going to teach you how God views money, wealth, and how we're supposed to steward over it. And it's one of the only areas that he says, if you don't handle it right, you're wicked. And it's going to be amazing. So join me next week. And I want you to know that this movie that we're about to shoot, you are the people who made this happening. As the producers and the people are walking by, Pastor Mike, why are you saying this? Because we're doing the vision right now. We're representing God to the lost and the found for transformation in Christ. And we have so many of our church members that have sown, given, believed, sown in crazy faith, showed up. There are people here from New York and Atlanta and California and Texas to just actually say that we believe God's word. If he said it, he's gonna do it. And if it's not done, it's not finished. Today, get ready, because I want to tell you that your distraction is playing you. Get ready to be ministered to by today's message. God bless you. Peace.
Today, as we start the last week of an 8-week series we're calling Death to Distraction, today I want to remind you that God is requiring from you another level of focus. If you're taking notes, I want you to write focus real big at the top of your notes. I want you to type it and push the header and make it bold on your phone, because the truth of the matter is that you're too distracted for the destiny God's called you to. I don't know what your distraction is. I'm not saying we even have the same distraction. Some of our distractions do overlap. But the truth of the matter is, many times I'm worried about your distraction when I'm imprisoned by mine. And I believe that God wants everybody to focus. Focus on him so that then he can give you what to focus on. Everybody hear what I'm saying? God doesn't just say focus, because a lot of times I come to people and I'm like, yo, I need you to focus on God. But what about my bills? What about my relationship? What about my kids? God's never telling you to focus on him to forget other things. He's telling you to focus on him so he can give you priority of how to focus, where to focus, when to focus. That friend he's been trying to get you to let go of for years, he's trying to help prioritize the patterns and the people in your life. So when God says focus, the Bible tells us he's the one that lights our path. Acknowledge him and all your ways and he will direct your, he's trying to give you instructions. And you just keep turning because the street looks familiar. You keep going down these back roads trying to take shortcuts to a place that God said, I'll lead you there. And so when God says focus, it's not for any other reason except he knows the destination. He knows the intended end. And so everybody by faith, we have to shout it out me one more time, focus. So that's why Hebrews 12:1, our scripture of the year, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every weight or everything that hinders us, especially sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race that God has marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He's saying, focus. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. Now, he big chilling, sat down at the right hand of the Father, of the throne of God. I say it every week, but fixing your eyes on Jesus gives you the faith to focus. As we end this series, I was reminded of a story. And today I just, honestly, more than preaching to you, I wanna talk to you like it was just me and you at a coffee table or in my, the place I feel most raw to talk to people is in my garage, in my little gym. I got a little gym in my garage. And when people come into my little gym garage, I just feel like these weights already beating us up. Why are we lying to each other? Like when I'm in my little gym garage, I'm like, if you come in here and you want to know the truth, I'm going to tell you the truth. Because these 30s is killing me right now. And some of my most open and honest dialogue has been as I'm sitting there in a vulnerable position, and I'm sitting there with somebody who's talking about nonsense, and I'm like, I gotta just tell them the truth. Y'all know how sometimes you be trying to be politically correct and like let people like, yo, I kind of understand, and you the whole time you thinking that's dumb. No, come on, y'all. Y'all know, you know, you're like, and you figured, you know what needs to be said, but maybe you don't have the relational equity to say it to them in the way it needs to be said. Do you ever wish you could go to your boss and just tell him, you talk too much? Okay. You ever wish you could go to a family member and be like, you make us all uncomfortable? Or you go to the family member like, you eat too much food. You not eat too much food, like you take too much. See, y'all so judgmental. Y'all know that one family member that comes and makes a plate to go before they make their actual plate? You need to tell them you didn't bring anything. Why are you? But to have an honest conversation, you have to have relational equity. And so I begin to pray this week that in this last, because I could literally take this series for another 10 weeks, but I know I got to move on. And so I just said, Lord, help me have the courage to talk to all these people like it was just me and them. And we had real relational equity that no matter what I say in this conversation, we still going to be friends after this. And so today, with that lens of love, I need to tell you that your distraction is playing you. The title of my sermon today is Your Distraction is Playing You. The thing that has become the thing that you go to, run to, are taken off of what you know to do. For some of you, it's a TV show. For others of you, it's a person. For some of you, it's a career path. For others of you, it's your children. I'm saying real thing. You are distracted on what God put you on this earth to do because of something he's allowed you to be in proximity to. And now you're obsessed with a title. You're obsessed with living in a neighborhood. You're obsessed with people liking you. You're obsessed with the number of likes and follows. And God said, all of that is a distraction. And what I put on you and put in you is for your destiny, but you are being distracted, and that distraction is playing you. Has anybody ever been played before? No. I'm talking about like you really thought somebody was in it for you and you got played. Okay. Is anybody confused if you're getting played right now? Come on, just hands up. Come on. You talking to him and he like, yeah, in about 10 years I'll marry you. Hold on, wait. He told you up front 10 years from now he gonna marry you? And you sitting there like, oh my God, 2035. What? I remember this time I got played with one of my brothers. He's in the room, John Stanton. Yeah, if you're my friend, you know you gonna get used. John Stanton played me as we both got played. Let me tell you the story. There was this brand of shoe that was really popular about 9 years ago. Both of us didn't really have no money, but we really liked nice things. And these shoes were selling for like $1,000. Yeah, on resale. And neither one of us had that. And he worked at a shoe store and found this girl who worked at another shoe store that could get them for $300 a pair. He was excited. He was jubilant. He was so sure that this was a thing that he came and shared his glee with me. And in sharing his excitement, I got excited and was like, yo, I can get 300. I can't get the thigh wow, but I can get 300. Let's do it together. And so both of us scraped together with our small children, and we got kids that need diapers and bottles and all kinds of stuff. Y'all, we was young, okay? We gave this $300 away to this person that neither of us had ever met. Oh, not in person, but they were real on IG. They contacting us back. They doing all the things. And needless to say, the time they said the shoes would be here, they were not here. We started messaging them. They started deleting our messages. To this day, I've never seen that product. And at some point, watch this, I had to come to the realization that I was getting played. I had to stop planning my outfits. Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all know when you know something on the way, you be like, oh, I'm gonna kill him with this one. I'll kill him. I had to stop planning my outfits. I had to stop planning for a refund. I had to come clean to my wife. At some point, I had to acknowledge I am getting played. This is playing. They playing me. I tried to get mad at John, but I realized he was getting played too. What I'm saying to you right now is if you don't acknowledge that something is using you or using you in an abnormal way, you won't realize that it's abuse. It's abuse. And if I could say it to you in a raw way, that distraction that you have made a part of your character, it's abusing you. Your confidence has taken a hit like nothing you've ever experienced. You can't even remember the things God told you. You used to be so sure of certain things, and because of what has happened, you've been getting played by the distraction of alcohol. Alcohol ain't a sin. No, it's not a sin, but you're no good on it. Alcohol's playing you. You make poor decisions. It's just a shot. Yes. It's just a shot. It's not a sin. It's not a sin. But you're not wise. See, you don't need to be like, everybody's trying to find this line. I'm just trying. If you won't be honest with yourself, your distraction is playing you. Your desire for those things is making you so upset about your now. You can't even enjoy what God has done for you because that distraction is playing you. And today I don't want to come and just acknowledge all of our distractions. I just want to say, whatever it is, there is no distraction that is for your good. Not one. And so for the past 7 weeks, we've been looking at the life of Samson, and then we looked at the life of Saul. And I just want to say it to you like this. Your distraction is a disguise and a destiny killer. Think about the thing you've been distracted by. Some of y'all be on Facebook looking at people you ain't been in school with for 18 years. Oh, I'm in your business. You scrolling about on Facebook trying to see what Lisa Santez is doing. Not Sanchez, Santez. And I'm just saying, it's a small distraction, but the energy that you're giving to that is the same energy that your wife is missing of feeling cared for. And you don't know why little pieces of you are being eroded. Why? It's not like it used to be. It's not how. It's because your distraction is playing you. Pastor Mike, do you have precedence for this? Yes, I do. As we've been looking at Samson's life, and we've gone through the whole thing, so if you can't pick up with us, you got to go back and start from point one. But Judges 16, verse 17, this is after Samson has been with Delilah, distraction, for a period of time. And it says, verse 17, finally, Samson shared his secret with her. My hair has never been cut, girl. Stop nagging me. He confessed, for I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite. I can't mess with anything that's dead. I can't take any strong drink, and I can't cut my hair. This is what God and my mom and them made a deal with. I've known it my whole life, but I've been playing with what could kill me my whole life. From birth, I've known this. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else. Verse 18, distraction realized he had finally told her the truth. The distraction is looking for the truth of what takes away your power. Your distraction is looking for the thing. Can I get them off? And literally Delilah finds out and she tells the Philistine rulers, come back one more time. I done found it, girl. I done found it. She said, for he has finally told me his secret. So the Philistine rulers returned with the money in her hand. Now this is the person that Samson had been trusting. This was the distraction he had been putting his faith in. Sells him out. Verse 19. Distraction lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap. And then she called in all the men to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. In this way, she began to bring him down. And his strength left him. His strength left while he was asleep. He didn't even get to fight for his strength. He was so comfortable with his distraction that he put his head in his distraction's lap and lost his power while sleeping. This is the plan of the enemy for our lives, is to get us so distracted with things that don't matter that we lose the power that God has placed on the inside of us to reach our destiny, and we don't even realize it. Okay. It said when he woke up, he thought, like a lot of us thought, I'll do as I did before and shake myself free. I'll do as I did before. I'll just apologize and our marriage will be put back together. I'll do as I did before. I'll just go back and I'll try it again. But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. So the Philistines captured him, and look what they did. It's very specific. They gouged out his eyes. They weren't after his life. They were after his vision. I need everybody to hear me. The distractions in your life are not after just your life. They're after your vision. Why wouldn't they just kill him all of his time? They wanted to take something that would allow his power to be useless. They took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and forced to grind grain in the prison. This is how we're gonna end this whole thing. The 6 exits of distraction. Today, if you're being distracted in any area, I'm going to give you 6 times in your life where you can get off of that highway that's leading to hell. You're on the highway to hell. And I'm not talking about in the afterlife. I'm talking about right on this earth. Some of y'all don't got to wait to die to go to hell. You living in it every single... No, y'all got to come on. This is hell going through all of this. And I'm trying to give you the ability to understand what distractions do so you can get off on the exit. Okay? The first thing you need to know about a distraction is a distraction always starts off neutral. Anything that is a distraction in your life was not no big distraction trying to take your life at the beginning. It was something you discovered. Wow, that drink is good. Wow, her butt is nice. Are those abs? It's never malicious. It's like, oh, that's a nice vacation they went on. It's neutral. The best place to get off the highway of hell is when you notice it, leave it. His wife is fine. That ain't my wife. See, so many times we're trying to demonize the discovery. Why are we demonizing the discovery when a child has never had ice cream before? If you ever see a child that's been just eating like kiwis and guacamole and broccoli, the first time they get some Bluebell vanilla ice cream, they whole body starts shaking. Whoa, my God. Why? We don't go, That's not good. It's discovery. It's if that becomes their only place to eat. It's if that's what they think is breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is, it's neutral. But many of us have things right now that are neutral, that if you don't get off of making that thing something you keep looking at, I heard it said like this: the first look is not the issue, it's the second look. Y'all hear what I'm saying? The first look is not the issue. If I go and I'm walking, I'm like, oh, okay. It's the... Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's the... I'm putting myself in danger. What are you looking at too long? We in the gym, we talking vulnerable. Why do you keep looking at it? Why do you keep looking at them? Why do you keep looking at what you don't have? Why do you keep looking at what church and what place and what car and what? Why do you keep looking at it? Some of y'all need to have a block party. I'm not talking about outside New York. I'm just talking about everything in your life that is something that you can look at and that takes your attention or your focus. You need to block it. And the reason you don't is because of an easy word that most people don't understand. It's pride. You actually think you better than you are in that situation. I can handle that. I can swipe past it. I can look at it until you can't. Pastor Mike, why are you saying this? Because some of you would save your family's line if you would get off the exit of this distraction while it's neutral. Because after a distraction is neutral, this is what happens. It becomes nurtured. If you don't kill the distraction at neutral, then you start to nurture it. Yeah. Then you start to make provisions for it. Then you start to do it secretly when nobody's around and only every 6 weeks and every 6 months. And then you start to make provisions for it and then you make excuses for it. And I know it's quiet in here because I'm in your business. The truth of the matter is right now, some of you have been nurturing these things just for the right opportunity for them to get grown enough to kill you. And God's telling you, this is the season. I'm telling you to focus. Put death to distraction. I forgive you. It's gone past neutral. You started to nurture it. Get off of this highway right now. And while you've nurtured it, before it takes you off, you need to exit. Delilah started off neutral. It was just another Philistine woman that he saw. And the crazy thing is, he was supposed to be the hero, the champion for the Philistine, to actually kill all the Philistines. But he started to love what he was supposed to conquer. And it went from neutral to he started nurturing it. Remember, he said to his father earlier, he said, I must have her. It's my birthday. I got to go to the club. I'm only turning 30 once. I'm only turning 40 once. I'm only, like, we make these things in our head, like, I'm 46. What happens at 46? I don't know, but it's today I'm going to do it. We make these things, and what we're doing many times, watch this, is nurturing our distractions. And anytime you nurture something, you give it enough fuel, enough food for it to grow. So I'm just asking you, wherever you're at right now, if your distraction, you've started to actually nurture it, I'm asking you, you've started to develop it, I'm asking you, put a death to that distraction right here. Because if you don't, it goes from being neutral, something you discovered, to something that you nurture, which is developed, to watch this, it becomes natural. And when your distraction and you are natural with each other, it becomes the thing that desensitizes you. Some of us right now, if your closest friends told you your real issue, you would get so triggered. If your friend just told you have an issue shopping, And you're like, issue shopping? What you talking about? I don't have no issue shopping. I'm just shopping. And your cart on Amazon right now has 98 things in them.
Okay, now that got personal. I saw the eyes come at me right there.
I mean, and I'm not saying that it's wrong or bad or not, but like when you have an issue, you know what you go to do. You're not going to pray. You're not going to go talk to God. You're not going to ask for counsel. You're going to go shop. He done pissed me off. I like that. Come on, let's be honest. Why are you saying that? Because now, because of culture, because of your friends, because of it being secret, nobody even thinks it's an issue. So right now, many of us, our distraction is covert. It's not an issue. Everybody does it. And God says, but this takes your focus. Every time I try to tell you to come spend some time with me, you buying a new dress. It's only $5.99. It's costing you more than $5.99. It's causing you direction. It's costing you wisdom. It's costing hearing from me. But it's so natural. It's so natural. And please don't feel discriminated against. I'm not calling everybody's situation because I got to get us past this point. But I'm just saying, whatever your distraction is, if it's comfortable and natural to you, you may be desensitized. When the Holy Spirit tries to touch you and say, hey, this is an issue, you don't even feel it no more. I don't got no conviction around that. No, you're numb. He's touching you. He's saying, stop saying that. Stop talking like that. Stop cussing like that. Stop talking to them kids like that. He's, hey. But you don't feel it no more because it's been so natural. Okay, I got to move. If you don't kill it when it's neutral, then it gets nurtured. If you don't kill it when it's nurtured, it becomes natural. If you don't kill it when it's natural, do y'all know that Samson has had an assassination attempt against his life 4 times. And this dummy, no, I have to call him what he is at this moment, is still going to continue to stay around the thing that he nearly escaped death 3 other times that he knows of. How many of y'all pray that prayer, God, if you get me out of this? Lord, I'm telling you right now, if you get me out of this situation, I promise. I'll make a promise. And he gets you out of it and you forget. Okay. You became desensitized. And watch this, Judges 16:19. Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap. And then she called in the men to shave off his 7 locks. After it becomes natural, your distraction asks you to take a nap. And when your distraction asks you to take a nap, this is what happened. You become detached. You're not even cognizant of reality no more. Have you ever had a friend doing something so dumb that it's obvious to everybody else? But they really think that it's the thing to do. They become detached. I heard a story of somebody doing something really, really, really like, I can't even believe you would leave all of what God has done for this thing that's not even real. But they were so detached from reality. They had taken a nap in the lap of a distraction. And I think about this. It said he had 7 dreadlocks. He was a brother, by the way, because he had dreadlocks. Y'all see that? Okay, this is just Blue's Clues. Put it together, okay. My man takes a nap and they cut off 7 locks of hair. I wonder which cut was the one he lost his power. Which one y'all think? It was the first one. No, it wasn't the last one. It couldn't have been the last one because he said his hair should have never been cut. So the first cut. And he probably had 7 thinking the grace wasn't going to run out. Surely God's going to. And he told him, hey, don't let none of your. And some of us play with God like that. And your distraction is playing you. You're laying in the lap of the thing that's about to take your power. He loses his power. And if you're at the place where you're taking a nap, you sleep on a distraction, wake up! No. Hear what I'm saying to you. I needed to be loud like an alarm. Wake up! Hear me, because the only thing that could have saved Samson at that moment before, as the scissors were coming, is if he would have woken up. And some of y'all are so close. You've been playing with it so long. This is my last time I can talk about this for a couple of weeks. And I just got to tell somebody, you may not have next month. I'm just saying, tomorrow's not promised. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Like you're waiting for this thing to happen for you to actually obey God. And God's like, hey, you might not have all the chances you think you got. And I'm not even talking about death. You think you're going to play that woman again? And she going to stay with you? You think you're going to lie to those children again and they're going to still have the same respect level for you? You think that you're going to steal from that job again and you still going to have a job? I'm saying there are consequences, and some of y'all are like, that's extreme. Apply it for you. But I came as an oracle of God today to tell you your distraction is playing you. Your distraction is going to be sitting there watching you lose what God promised you. This is where we end. If you don't get off the exit at neutral, and you don't get off the exit at nurtured, and you don't get off the exit at natural, and you don't get off the exit at nap, this is what happens. Then something gets nixed in your life. See, everybody thinks that the nixing or the cutting or the taking away or the ending of something was his hair. That wasn't the only thing they took. It's enough. He's powerless now. Watch what I'm saying to you. They cut his hair. They take his hair. They take his strength, but they take something else. So the Philistines, verse 21, Judges 16, 21, captured him and gouged out his eyes. They took his sight. They took his vision. What are you saying, Pastor Mike? They wanted him to live in the dark. Your distraction, ultimate goal, is for you to live in the dark. They could have killed him. It could have been death. They said, nah. It's better for everybody to see him still survive, but in his state of weakness. Your distraction wants you to still be seen, but still be bound. Your distraction wants you to still be able to show up, but not be able to say anything. Your distraction wants you to be alive, but not be living. God. Your distraction is playing you. And the reason I know is because it played me for years. My distractions of pornography addiction, my distractions of comparison, my distractions. I'm not telling you something that I just want you to go do. I've walked this thing out. My distraction of lust, my distractions of perversion, my distractions of a love for money. This series I'm about to preach next week is from my life. I had wicked things in my heart when it came to money and wealth and what it would make me. And God had to take and strip me of all of those things to actually let me see that wealth is supposed to work for the kingdom. It's supposed to be a tool. A few weeks ago, we told the church that as a church in the last 10 years, we've given away $34 million. Y'all don't understand. Yeah, praise God. But the thing that you don't understand is if God wouldn't have stripped me of the distraction of a wicked, that money would have had me doing other things. Guys, I'm trying to plead with you today. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I've done the same thing. All I'm saying to you is you're not going to change nothing you think is helping you. And I just came to tell you your distraction is playing you. They take Samson's vision, and after his vision is gone, it turns nuclear. I'm
stopping for a moment because I'm just thinking about what would have happened if I got distracted. I'm sitting here on this day actually messed up because I was told earlier this week that March 9th, today, is the day that God gave me a vision 10 years ago in my daughter's room at 729. Many of you know the story. Many of you know, just bring it to me real quick. And I blew it up so that you could see the reality of this. And I start getting emotional because 10 years ago today, I had nothing. I had just become the lead pastor of Transformation Church 37 days earlier. I was sitting there with 300 people in the church. And I woke up under anxiety and pressure, not knowing if I could stay pure and not look at pornography. And how can I lead people my parents' age? And how I just had all this stuff. What is anybody going to give? Are they going to trust me? Are they going to find out that I went to jail and I had to serve community service? They did. They found out. let me be clear. Like, but God said, he said, Michael, I'm going to give you a vision. I'm going to give you a destiny. I'm going to give you a destination. And sitting in my daughter's room at 7:29 a.m., Bella's room, I wrote it down, March 9, 2015. The Spirit Bank Event Center will be Transformation Church. I wrote it down. I took this picture off of Google. I tried to make the image as good as I can. If you get close up on it, you can see how my Pages document didn't really allow me to win. I even spelled transformation wrong. I spelled transformation. Forgot the T. I leave it just like this to let people know that it doesn't have to be perfect. It has to be written down. It has to come from God. I wrote this down. And as I think of us on March 9th, 10 years later, shooting a movie on this exact day in this facility that was not, oh God, in this facility that was just a vision on a piece of paper. And the first thing said, we will have a state-of-the-art facility. This is before we had a speaker, a stage, a light. And it just goes on to say all of these things. I start to think, what would have happened if I would have got distracted and believed the lies and believed what they said? And when God told me to represent and God told us to do ransom and then we got people writing blogs on us and all that other stuff. What if I would have got distracted? I would have missed out on one of the many destinations. Today, I'm just here to ask you, don't miss out on whatever God has for you because you've fallen in love with a distraction. Your distraction is playing you. My favorite part about this whole scripture, I'm gonna just sit this right here, is Judges verse 16 and 22. This gonna encourage somebody. He gets captured, his eyes get gouged out, he gets put on display, but, somebody shouted me, but. I'm not talking about your gluteus maximus, but I'm talking about the word that interrupts whatever sentence is being written about you. Whatever lie has been said, God says, but, oh God, whatever thing that you've been going down and everything that you've been going, God will significantly step in and say, but not them, but not my children, but not this family, but, no. They were this, but they've been redeemed. They were a liar, but any man that be in Christ, he is a new creature. They were addicted, but I'm the one who sets you free. And if I set you free, you are free indeed. Samson has been distracted his whole life. But before long, the Bible says in verse 22, his hair began to grow back. I feel like God is about to do a Rogaine situation in some of y'all situations, y'all. Your hair about to, your faith is about to grow back. Your confidence is about to grow back. Your integrity is about to grow back. God is not gonna let it end like this, standing all over this building. What are you saying, Pastor Mike? You can have focus after the failure. Samson, after he lost his eyes, he didn't lose his voice. And he began to pray to God. Some of y'all are in darkness right now, but you still got your voice. Some of you can't see your way forward, but the enemy wants you to shut up and you need to use your voice. Judges 16, 28, then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, just remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back these Philistines. What he's saying, with one blow, this one last act, can I please still reach destiny? You assigned me from birth to defeat the Philistines. I had to go through a lot because I was distracted. I lost my place. I lost my sight. I lost my hair. But one more time, God, could you use me so I can actually fulfill my destiny? He said, can I pay them back for the loss of my two eyes? Then Samson put his hands on the two center pillars that held up the temple, pushing against them, not with just his own strength, but with the strength of heaven's army behind him. With both hands, watch what he did. He's pushing and praying. He's pushing and praying. He's not just pushing. He's just not using his own strength. He's pushing and praying. It says, with both hands, he pushed, verse 30, and he prayed. Let me die with the Philistines. And the temple crashed down on the Philistine rulers and all the people. So he killed more people when he died than during the time that he was alive. When you turn to Jesus, you can still fulfill your destiny after distraction. Give God praise in this place. Somebody say, it's not finished. Y'all missed it. Somebody say, it's not finished. So you decide. You decide. Today I just want to pray for everybody that knows they got to get off one of these exits. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to ask anybody that wants to ask Jesus into your life. I want you to have an opportunity, because that's the only thing that changed my focus. And as we do that, again, this moment right here is about people giving their life to Christ. Yeah, we're about to shoot a scene from a movie right after this, and if you gotta go, you can do that. But there is nothing more important that will happen today, not one thing, than this right here. Because we're talking about life and death. We're talking about walking around in darkness or walking around in his marvelous light. Today is the only thing that changed my life, and I need our church to be praying. If you're watching online right now, today is the day of salvation. If there is any area in your life that you know distraction has been leading you down the wrong path, would you just identify by just lifting your hand? I want to pray for you today. Just in any area, I'm in the right place. And would you join one of those hands and just lift it like you're ready to receive? Yeah. Father, today, I just thank you that we're coming to you vulnerably, humbly, and we're repenting. We're turning. And we're saying, God, forgive us for being committed to our distraction more than we have been committed to your instructions. Today, we turn back to you. Whatever you tell us to do, we shall do. Whatever you say that we need to do, we will be obedient. Father, even if we're in the dark right now, we don't feel like we can hear you. Speak, Lord, because your servants, your sons and daughters are listening.
Father, we need more than what's happening right now. And today we know we can't do it without you. God, let us be comfortable with the uncomfortable. Father, some of us have been so familiar with our Delilahs and our distractions, Father God, that we don't even know who we are without them. But today I thank you for giving us a brand new identity. Yeah. That we can let go of relationships that have nothing for us, Father, and actually live in freedom. That we can, Father God, take our careers that have not been serving us, but been running us. God, we can put them in their proper perspective. God, today we are saying there is no one else that we will focus on more than you. And so today we look to you. Thank you that today will be a line of demarcation because we will not let our distraction steal our vision another day. Heal us. Redeem us. Refocus us. And I just declare, Father God, that everybody that's making this decision, there will be divine help that comes to their everyday life, Father. Your Holy Spirit is not just for a church experience. It is actually for how we live in the streets. So God, I thank you that tomorrow and today and the rest of this week and the rest of this year, Father, you will allow us to walk in focus. We will hear you, sense you. Father, it will be so detailed. You'll be able to say, don't go there. And we will listen and obey. You'll be able to say, stop talking to them. And we will listen and obey. You will be able to say, Father God, sit and wait on me. And we will wait on you. Do a work on the inside of us is our prayer. Now for anybody in here in the same attitude, because God's doing heart surgery right now. If you're in this room and you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a producer from Hollywood, and I don't care if you came out of here off the street. Today is your day of salvation. God has divinely orchestrated all of these moments to get you to this moment right here. And I don't want nothing for you. I want everything for, I don't want anything from you. I want everything for you. I want you to experience the freedom that comes when you surrender your life to Jesus. And it's very simple according to Romans 10:9. It said, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. Is that it? Yeah, there's some other things that you're going to have to go through to actually get your life in line with that. But I'm telling you, your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're watching online or you're in this room, I'm telling you right now, today God wants to transform your life. On the count of three, if that's you, and there will be multiple people, there's hands already going up. I just want you to throw your hand in the air. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I'm proud of you, but your name is going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Three, just lift your hands, all of you. I see you. I see you, my sister, my brother. I see you. I see you. Come on, y'all. I see you, my brother. And more than I see you, God sees you. Y'all, let's celebrate what's happening in here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hey, listen, we're family at TC. Nobody prays alone. Everybody just lift your hand and say, God, thank you for sending Jesus just for me today. I give up my distractions and I focus on you. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again with all power just for me. Here's my life. Change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, can we celebrate with all of heaven? Oh, y'all got to do better than that. Can we celebrate? Hallelujah.
What an amazing, amazing service we just had with that sermon title, Your Distraction is Playing You. And it's honestly a beautiful point of self-awareness, of honesty, of realizing where you are, what's going on in your life, and how to be honest about the areas that maybe you need to exit. Maybe you need to get off. Maybe you need to release some things. And so I want to encourage you, don't allow this moment to just be this. Don't allow it just to be one moment, but allow it to be a moment that causes movement in your life. And I want to encourage you to step into that. Hey, listen, every single week we get the opportunity to pray for those of you who are watching online around the world. And it means so, so much. And during service, people have been putting in prayer requests, and our amazing team has done a job to collect some of those. And so we're going to take a moment. I want you to stay right where you are, and you can leave this on. Maybe you got some stuff you're doing. You can turn it up a little bit. We're going to be praying over three specific areas in your life. And this first one is going to be praying for healing. I want to take a moment and pray for Cassandra, who's in New York. And she's praying for Justin, who is on life support. Right now, God, we thank you so much for Justin. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are with him right where he is. God, I pray for intervention right now in the name of Jesus, that wherever he is watching from, Lord God, wherever they are watching from, that your spirit would intervene, that you would encourage them around, give the doctors wisdom in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We're praying for another person who's asking for healing in their mind and in their body. God, I thank you that you would provide healing. You are a healer, Lord God, and we believe you for it. We have our friend Quenisha, who is in New York, and she just realized and is struggling with stage 4 cancer. God, I thank you. Cancer is a name that a doctor can give a report, but there's a greater report we choose to believe, and that is the report of the Lord. God, I thank you that you are greater than the name of cancer. I pray you would bring healing and peace in the name of Jesus. We're going to keep praying. We're going to specifically take a moment. We're going to pray for provision. There's those of you who areas of your life you need God to provide for, areas of your life where you need his help. And right now we're praying for Taylor, who's in Tennessee, and she needs direction and obedience. God, I thank you for my sister, that Taylor, whoever they are, Lord, you want to give them the clarity that they need for this moment. It's not an accident that they're watching. It's not an accident they put that request in. So I pray for Taylor, you would give them obedience. We pray for Monique as transitioning back to college. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are going to be with them, that you are going to guide them. There is never a moment that they have been left alone. We pray for another one of our family in Atlanta that lost their home. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are a comforter. You are a connector. You are a healer. Lord, you guide us through every season. God, right now we thank you, Lord Jesus, for those who are praying for relationships, for Amanda in Texas, as her husband continues to serve. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you would be with her. You would guide her, bring unity between her and her husband. We pray for Lola as her father, the father returns into her daughter's life. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that there is nothing that you do that you are not involved in a divine way. So I pray she would have peace trusting your divine plan, Lord. And we pray for Michelle. Michelle has lost her sister, Lord God. And Lord, the pain of grief is so real. But I thank you, Lord God, you are the comforter that comes alongside. Lord, we lift all these prayer requests to you, those we named and those we didn't. And we pray that people would find you in their situation. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Hey, listen, friends, man, it's so beautiful every time we get to share a moment to pray. I want you to know how much we care about you, where you are. And it means so much that you would take your Sunday to be with us. I pray this, that you are encouraged today, that your head was lifted today. Maybe as you leave service, man, you can turn on some worship music. Transformation Worship has so many amazing songs and albums. And all day yesterday, I was spending it with my kids. We were listening to Undefeated Champion. And as a matter of fact, we have a new song coming out called The King Is Alive. And the team did an amazing job writing this song. I would love for you to grab that. Hey, another exciting thing is next week, we start a brand new sermon series called Wicked, The Worship of Wealth. It's a beautiful point of clarity. Jesus doesn't call money itself wicked, but he says the worship of it, and when you misuse it, that's what I say is wicked or twisted or wrong. We're going to learn how to steward our finances in a way that honors God. Also want to say just thank you to everybody. Last week we announced that we released the pre-orders for my new book, God Chose Me. And it means the world, the love and support. And if you haven't got an opportunity to get your copy, you can go to charlesmetcalf.com to get that anywhere books are sold. But man, we love you so, so, so much. Hey, listen, every single Wednesday night, we are together as a family for the dig deeper in God. And it's a beautiful, beautiful space where we get to grow in prayer, grow in our understanding of the scripture, 6 p.m. online and in person. Hey, listen, family, we love you so much. So grateful for you. And until next time, go out and live a transformed life. We'll see you.